The sermon this morning comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Pray with me. God, help us now as we look at your word, what you have told us specifically, God, and give us hearts to hear and to treasure up your word in our hearts and to apply it, that you will be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A man that I work with throughout the week, and we do some Bible studies together, the Bible study is oftentimes this ad lib freestyle topical Bible study where you never know what's going to come up and where things are going to go, but in this setting it seems to work best. Well, every now and then he'll be going one way and I'll bring out a scripture and he'll say, "That's a good one." And we'll be going another way and he'll bring out a scripture and I'll turn to him and say, "That's a good one." And we'll go back and forth and we'll take our notes here and there. And well, this past week we were traveling together and he asked me, he said, "So what are you preaching on this week?" And I said, "Romans 13, be in subjection to the governing authorities." He turned to me and said, "That's not a good one." And we think that way. At least I do. There's something put before us that I'm not eager to rejoice in. It's something that I am not eager to embrace. But when we look at the reality and we come to Scripture and see that God has said, "Come, little children, come. I have something to tell you. I have a warning to give you. I have instruction here to give you. To hear it because of wrath that looms. To hear it because of conscience sake. Come and hear it." And you and I, we would stray to the back and say, "Yeah, but that's not a good one." If he has preserved it these 2,000 years, if he has brought it to us after unpacking our full salvation for us, if he has come to us and just in the chapter before saying, "Let love be without hypocrisy, hating what is evil, clinging to what is good," and he here describes to us saying, "To not embrace this, evil is upon you." How much weight is there in this scripture? Now, what does it mean for us not to embrace this? What does it mean for us to ignore it or to neglect it? See, each of us, we see it happening around us. We see people rejecting the governing authorities and an anger stirs up in us over different circumstances. Yesterday we were driving and a car shot past us on the left and it was not two lanes. And I looked with some anger at the person and I observed that there was a double yellow line and I was mad. Because they were breaking the rules. I was mad because they were putting people in danger. When I drive through Beaver Falls and people walk in front of me and slow down when they see me and glare at me, when it's not a crosswalk, I get mad. Because the governing authorities and the rules that have been established are being broken. There are things that you look at when rules are broken and you get mad. Here we're being told, here we are being informed, that makes sense that we get mad. Because God has placed the governing authorities around us specifically for our good. Here we are told that they are the authority of God in our immediate lives. We look at the world and we want evil restrained. We want evil punished. Here we are told it is the government's role to restrain evil in this world and to punish evil in this world. That is all wickedness. That is all crimes. And we as Christians are being told here to put ourselves in subjection to the governing authorities. That means place yourself under. See them as higher. Now, I've always hated that. I've always hated that idea. There was a line from a movie. It was this portrayal of King Arthur. And King Arthur is coming along. And he comes to a bridge. And he wants to cross the bridge. But the Black Knight is standing there. And King Arthur looks at the man. And he's ready to pass. And he says, "Step aside, sir." And the man says, "I yield to no man." And I'll tell you, when he said that, that resonated in my heart. That echoes in my heart. Every time I'm driving down the highway and I come on a ramp and it says yield, I hear the Black Knight say, "I yield to no man." How often is that the case for us when any authority is imposed on us? Our sinful hearts shout, "I yield to no one." And yet the command of Scripture here is to yield. So the call for you, as we examine Romans 13, see the government as God's servant and obey God by obeying it. See the government as God's servant and obey God by obeying it. Our first step, submit. Submit to the governing authorities. Romans 13:1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Look at those first two words there in verse 1. Every person. Every person. This could be taken, and you can take this as God specifically speaking your name, saying, you submit to the governing authorities. And what is the reason? God has put them there. We say, "Surely not, Lord. Surely not. Not this corrupt police force. Not this corrupt governing body. Not this corrupt nation. Surely not." But the reality is, and God states it clearly, He has placed them there. In 1 Timothy 2:2, we are to pray for all kings and all who are in authority. The reason given, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all goodness and dignity. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14 says the same thing. Submit. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Oh, and I feel it. There were times cousins would grab you when I was a child, and they would wrestle you, and they would squeeze you, and they would put you on the ground, and they would say, "Say it! Say it!" You're supposed to say uncle. You're supposed to submit. You are supposed to tap out. You are supposed to give up. But it's that last thing a man wants to do. And in the same, and in different settings, the last thing a woman wants to do is submit. But here we are told clearly, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Now, as we examine this, we're going to look at some broader context and more narrow context. So for our second step, children, submit to your parents. Children, submit to your parents. God has established an order in all things. In all things. Talk to our biologists here. Talk to our chemists here. Talk to them about the order God has established in all things. Here we look at a broad picture of kings under the king, under God, an order established for the carrying out of God's work on earth, punishing evil and rewarding good. We take those structures all the way down to our own households. And God tells us, children, submit to your parents. Ephesians 6:1 through 3. Children, obey your parents because they deserve it. It's not what it says. Children, obey your parents because they're righteous. It's not what it says. Children, obey your parents because they're so good you're able to respect them. It's not what it says. Children, this is what it really says. Obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Nathan. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is what he speaks to you. Levi. 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 Is he hiding? Obey your parents in the Lord. Jonah. Obey your parents in the Lord. House of Wilson. Obey your parents in the Lord. Keelers. Obey your parents in the Lord. The governing authorities are placed here by God. God says and commands, honor your father and your mother. To reject what God has put in position is to reject God's testimonies and commands to his face. Obey your parents in the Lord. Now we look and are tempted to reject it and think, surely not my parents. But Acts 17:26, it's described, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. That means God placed you in the household where you are, gave you the parents that you have, and said, obey your parents in the Lord. And we have no testimony when we are rejecting what God has said. Now, this structure continues with what God has placed upon us. This is our third step. And I thought about for the second one, telling the parents that elbow their children. For our third step, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, don't you dare elbow your wives right now. Wives, submit to your husbands. 1 Peter 3:1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Now this is never, and as we will continue to look, this is never a command to do evil, but always the command to do good. Our fourth step. Members, submit to sessions. Members, submit to sessions. Hebrews 13:17. This is the ecclesiastical leaders. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Some of you may look and say, surely not these leaders, Lord. Surely not these elders, as some wives would look and say, surely not this husband, Lord. As children may look and say, surely not these parents, Lord. As we would look and say, surely not this government, Lord. But we were told there is no authority in verse 1. There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Jesus, when speaking to the church in his time, he said, therefore, speaking of the Pharisees and the rulers, therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. These were wicked, corrupt leaders. These are the ones where Jesus stood and shouted at them at length, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside but on the inside are filled with dead men's bones and all things unclean. He looked at the church that was under those leaders and said, do all that they tell you to do and observe. But this is never a clearance to do evil. Jesus went on to say, but do not do according to their deeds. And this is where they would deviate from God's commands. For they say things and do not do them. But even then, God is saying that is not license to reject godly commands. This is the reality in our households, with our wives, with our children, in our church, and with our governments. And this brings us to our fifth step. Citizens, submit to governments. Why? Because God put them there. Again, verse 1. Every person is to be in subjection to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. I'll remind you of Matthew 22:20-21, where they were trying to trap Jesus, get him to say something wrong that they could convict him of. And they asked, shall we pay our taxes to Caesar or not? Jesus' response was, and he said to them, holding up a coin, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, was this because the Roman government was righteous? They were as heathen and as pagan as it comes. Was it because they did right or would always command what is right? No. They were wicked and sinful like the nation in which you live. So as Christ did not give the church of that time the authority to throw off their authority, he does not give us in this time the authority to throw off the authority of the United States of America. In all that they command us, until they command us to sin. In Acts 2:23, well, I'll move back. Mark 9:31, for he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. He's saying, submit to these people who are going to kill me. Submit, even though death is here. In Acts 2:3, Peter speaking by the Spirit, this man, Jesus, delivered over by the predetermined plan, this is God's purpose, and the foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Godless men were the authority, and Jesus said, obey them and submit to them. Here we are in the United States of America, under godless men, under a godless nation, and you and I are given the exact same instruction that the church in Rome was given. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Our next step, and this will apply to all of the previous steps, submit in all lawful things. That means, parents, you're not allowed to command your children to do evil. You're not allowed to command your wife, husbands, to do evil. Session, you're not allowed to command your congregants to do evil. The government is not allowed to command you to do evil. When they do that, that's when we say, I'm sorry, I cannot submit and obey. In Acts 4:19, when Peter and John were being commanded not to teach in the name of Christ, Acts 4:19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. They went on to explain, we must obey God. We cannot stop speaking and teaching in this name in which we are saved. So what does it mean for lawful commands? Well, lawful in accordance with the kingdom good. If you're being commanded to do something directly against Scripture, you may not do it. You may not do it. Where we live, what we do, the place that you have been put in, the greatest commandment is to love God. And loving Him looks like obeying Him. First, we obey Him and love Him. If they tell you to worship against Scripture, you say no. No, I won't. That's happened. That has happened. People have been told to worship against Scripture. It's in our heritage. We had to go and worship in fields and hide with guards standing guard while we worshiped, because they would come and kill us. That's happened. If they tell you to speak, or they tell you not to speak in the name of Christ, you say, I must speak in the name of Christ. If they tell you to say that other religions are equal to Christ, or equal to salvation in Christ, we say, no. But in all other things, no matter if we can rationalize it or not, if you want to see what rationalizing sin looks like, try to watch several four-year-olds. Tell them what to do. Some of our little guys, they stutter over their words, like my son Nate used to. And it's this thing in our household. I'll tell them something to do, and they'll come back with a, but I, which means, but I would rather, or I don't see it, I don't want to do it. And all of us do that. And it's not acceptable. Children, it's not acceptable in relationship to your parents. It's not acceptable in any of the dominions and the governments that God has established. It's not acceptable in our relationship with Christ. It's not acceptable in our relationship to the government that God has put in place. So, love God. Love God. And we would all say an amen to that if we were that sort of church. But here we're being told, love God by obeying Him, by submitting to the authority that He has put in place. If you sit here now and think, that's not a good one, repent. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for reproof, for instruction, for training in righteousness, that all the people of God will be equipped for every good work. This is what we need. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You for what You have put into place, even though we have hated it. We have rejected it. We have bucked against it. We have kicked against the goads. God, grant us true repentance, that we will demonstrate love and faith in the ways that we submit to the authorities that You have put in place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.